to Coog with McCarthy in support on the inside. He takes the reverse pass and dashes 20 yards to touchdown between the posts.
Welcome to another edition of Rabbitohs Radio. My name is Grant Chappell. I'm joined by my loyal co-host and friend, Darren Brownie Brown. Welcome to 224, Brownie.
Yeah, g'day, chaps, and happy new year to you and all the listeners out there. Really looking forward to a big season from the mighty South Sydney Rabbitohs this year, and more importantly, Las Vegas is only a couple of weeks away.
It's not too far away. The boys will be flying out and trying to put on a good show there, round one over there in the US, and it's going to be very important, not for the Rabbitohs, for the game of rugby league to really put on a show over there.
Yeah, well, they're really trying to tap into the US market, and that's the plan, and a five-year deal over the next 5 years. So, yeah, really looking forward to it, and I'm glad the Rabbitohs are going over in year one because I'll be on the plane in 3 weeks' time.
There you go, Brownie. I'll have to ring you up and get your thoughts from live in Las Vegas. But anyway, we're going to do a little preview of the Pathways because the Pathways season is on our doorstep. It's on this Saturday. All the teams are trotting out down there in Wollongong. We've also got a trial for our New South Wales Cup team. But we've got a very special guest, a bloke who I think he's one of the most underrated off-season recruits, to be honest, for the Rabbitohs. And it will pay dividends in years to come. We've got head of Pathways recruitment manager, Brent Benihill, Rabbitoh player number 820. Welcome to Rabbitohs Radio, mate.
That's glad to be here, chaps and Brownie. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, welcome, Benny.
Mate, we might find out a little bit more about you before we rip into these Pathways teams. And I know you've got all the knowledge of where they come from, these boys, and who's going well and who's got a bit of work to do. But now, tell us a little bit about your rugby league journey and your passion for the game and obviously the South Sydney Rabbitohs, mate. Where did it all start?
Started with me. I was a Mascot Junior, actually, growing up. My first ever game of football for the Mascot Jets, Mascot Oval. My dad got me into football, obviously. He was coaching SG Ball, and they were training at Mascot Oval at the time when I started playing, making my debut. He was coaching a guy by the name of Robert Sate. SG Ball Premiership winnings player, and he was coaching Sadie in that sort of age bracket, and I'm sitting around at Mascot Oval, you know, little four-year-old kicking the ball around, doing the sort of thing. So eventually I got recruited to play for Mascot. My first ever game was Mascot, and Sadie happened to be my coach.
Mate, not a bad club to get recruited to first up.
Yeah, I don't think my mum's side of the family, they're the Carrolls, they're the matriarch of Alexandria Rovers. I don't think there was a Carroll, there's 11 brothers and sisters and 47 cousins, and I think I'm the only one that didn't play for Alexandria Rovers.
Not a bad mentor too, mate, Sadie. He was a great coach. Mentored a lot of good young players that have gone on to bigger and better things over the last couple of decades. Shout out to you, Sadie. Great man from the Cots. He loves the Cots, doesn't he?
Yeah, like you said, chaps, he mentors a lot of them young kids still today. He's always down at Mascot Oval putting his time back into the game. It's a great club, Mascot. They produce a lot of great players throughout the years, and they're still doing that today.
What about your pathway to first grade? Give us a little rundown on that, some of your coaches and guys you came through with that had talent.
So as a junior at Mascot, obviously, actually I came through the age bracket, which was, well, there's always good juniors back in those days, but I actually thought our age bracket was one of the better juniors age brackets going around. We had, actually under sixes. Zetlin wins a comp, and they happen to have a guy by the name of Terry Hill playing for them. I think he scored 100 tries that year, which goes to show you how good a footballer Terry Hill was.
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy Dimmick always
100 tries in a season.
100 tries in a season, and he would have done it easy. Like it was, and it was 100 metres. It was a full field. It was, and 13 on 13, he'd run around you. He'd run over you. He'd stick his big round left hand palm straight in your face, and he had a bit of mongrel on him, Tezza. So Terry was an exceptional footballer all the way through. Obviously went on to play for Australia, but in that same side, Brett Mullins.
Oh, wow.
Which probably the most dynamic fullback in those early 90s running around in Australian fullback. And I think you come into an under six football team and come up against Terry Hill and Brett Mullins. And later around the track, Jimmy Sedaris played for Zetland that same side, and Jimmy Dimmick. So I think they had four internationals coming out of Zetland Magpies in the same age bracket. And the year they did it, they also had Trindle. Was it Trindle moved over from the Rovers to Zetland one year, and
Peter Trevitt.
They had Paul Israel. They had that was just a cast of a thousand.
Nick Zisti in that team.
Nick Zisti. And they had Nada Zahr, who was a very, very good young fella as well. Yeah, they often tell the story about how he went in that grand final. We scored the first try. Abdul scored off a drop ball. I think we led 6-0. And I said, in the next 80 minutes, well, mate, it was just on for young and old. It was real physical, real tough. And right on the bell, we scored again. And Abdul kicks a goal. And then, now, they said, oh, what score did you beat him? I went, no, I think it was about 56-12.
Yeah.
So I kind of missed the 78 minutes in the middle between Abdul's first try and last try.
Yeah, you mentioned that great side of the Zetland Juniors. And a lot of people don't realise that, like you said, Benny, Brent, Mullins was a South Sydney Junior.
Yeah, his old man was obviously playing the – looking at 1978, must have been playing at the Roosters still. So his old man Bill playing still in the area. And Zetland too clever. They got Brett Mullins to run around playing his nappy grade. I think you might have moved to Young the year after. I only remember him playing the one year. Sort of cried a lot that under sixes that first year. No, they were a very, very good football side. It was a good age bracket. It wasn't just dominated by Zetland. I mean, Rovers were always good. Maroubra had good sides at the time. La Perouse, I think, got beat by Zetland that grand final. And then, so it was like, those days you had seven or eight really good sides and three or four missed the semis.
Mm. Yeah. Mate, you're involved with the Pathways now, but what was your Pathways journey in terms of Harold Matt's SG Ball and Jersey Flag?
I actually never got picked in Harold Matt's, the first squad that went out. I was a pretty good young kid footballer, and as me and Natty Wood says, we never got any Rubik's Cubes till we were a little bit older, so we never got picked in Harold Matt's. I sat out the SG Ball season. I didn't put my hand up to play. I got a letter. My dad was a coach, and as he'd been doing for, did 21 years straight of that sort of junior pathways SG Ball. So I didn't put it trial for SG Ball, and Natty Wood didn't make the squad either. So I just sat out the SG Ball season, and it was a little bit unusual. If you don't play rep football, there was a rule in place where they could suspend you until you. My old man suspended me. I had to sit out the first three games for mascot.
Yeah, man suspended you.
And I said, look, I didn't want to play because I didn't want to put pressure on him to pick me in the squad or pick me in the 17. And as it turned out, that was a pretty good age bracket anyway. I don't know what it helped them much. I think we're undefeated and went out the back door in the semi-finals. I was at hot age. Obviously, Fittler was running around for Penrith, but Illawarra were really good. They had Riolo and Simon and John Cross and Martin. They had... I think eight and nine blokes that went
was
on.
Was Girdler in that side?
Girdler wouldn't mind even being in the starting side. They had a really, really hot side, yeah. They were very good. But, yeah, so that was my pathway. So my first representative football was Jersey Flag. The following year I'd made Jersey Flag a year young, which was 19s back then, so I was an 18-year-old. So I played 18s, captain of 19 Jersey Flag side, and as soon as the season was over, I went up to grade. And as the season finished very early in the junior reps, it was... And straight to Redfern Oval and turned up for 21s training, which was called President's Cup. And I think there was 55 blokes training every single Monday night. You'd train together as a group. So the first graders knew who you were and within the reserve grade. And you had your 20, third grade was 21s back then. And that's sort of how the competition sort of moved on to. So I got to go training with probably 30 blokes and my old man coached over the years. And that's what I looked up to. I was like, I didn't think I was good enough to be in that sort of position, but I come through. I had a couple of good years in Jersey Flag, and then went straight up the President's Cup.
Yeah, just going back to them training days back in the late 80s, early 90s, when you said there was about 50 players. We all had them coloured singlets. There'd be four to five different groups. You'd be training all together, doing ball skills. Bobby Jimin would have a group. Lionel Potter would have a group. Yeah, it was great times back then, wasn't it?
It was the best. It was like, for a young kid who thought, just getting to 21's level was tick the box. I'm happy to get there. I'm watching blokes run around in first grade and they watch these come through SG Ball. Then the next level was Jersey Flag. And then you watch them play President's Cup and you see some kids get picked for first grade. And it was kind of interesting to watch because I remember Monday night, you'd do your four laps around the oval, nice slow jog, and you'd see, you know, Piggins and Frankie Curry and Bull Gorman and, you know, Cole Berwick and all come out onto the field, and I start calling blokes out one by one when you're doing slow laps around the outside of the field. And after a few weeks, you worked out what's happening. Whoever got called out was either getting pushed up a grade or they were getting dropped.
Yeah.
And you run around the outside of the oval as much as you can, and you keep, and who's this? Oh, sweet. Oh, fullback's getting dropped. You little beauty, might go back to, I might get pushed up here. So that's kind of how it worked. Yeah, whoever played that weekend, if you're going to get trimmed up, they would call you out for a little one-on-one chat. And you can see by the body language whether they walk down and they'll kicking stones. And and that's kind of how I remember my first intake of in 1991 of grade.
Well, what about that first grade debut, mate? 1992, round 16 against Parramatta. Set the scene there, mate.
Yeah, Sydney Football Stadium, Parramatta. Brett Kenny was a 5'8 for Para, and they didn't have a bad sort of side. Not as good as earlier, not, you know, early 80s and 90s of the real Parramatta. But yeah, I was on the bench. I think I played 21s that day. And then you get told straight after the game, you go up, sit on the bench, and you sit on the bench for reserve grade. And same thing happened again. I think I might have actually got on for the last 12 minutes or something in reserve grade. And the coach says, mate, you're going to go sit on the bench for first grade. You don't really think you're going to get on. There's probably 15 guys sitting around. Back in the days then, it was 1 to 13 was your first grade. Your 14 to 26 was your reserve grade side in that order. You know, 14 was fullback, 26 was... And then same thing, 27 to 39. And you knew two guys were going to get on. That was number 40 and 41. They were the two first grade guys that were generally front rowers or forwards are going to do the replacement and the rotation. Mm-hmm. And then the next 13 guys sit on the bench, just a lottery who was going to get picked on the shoulder, you know, how it panned out. And I think... For memory, Corey Murray was in the halves with Tugger, and he must have got injured. And it took a while from the, and they were right on the Paddington side end, right up the far end of the field, and we were sitting on the bench. And I think Frank Curry goes, Benny Hill, you go on. Well, I'm thinking I'm going straight on the 5'8", and I'm start running down the sideline. And I think the trainer's chasing me. It might have been Lionel Potter.
Yeah.
No, you're going to fullback, put Roddy Maywan up to into the halves. I said, so by the time I got down there, Parra attacking the line. And look, Tugger was carrying on. Tugger, and he was like, get on the fucking field, you know. So next you know, they kicked the ball and went dead, which was lucky. I just got on the field. Corey got taken off on the far side. I couldn't get on until he got off. I ran back 100 miles an hour. I threw the ball to Garlow. I think we're going to take a tap and charge onto the ball, you know. And he hang on a second, and Tugger yells out, no, listen, we've been on the defensive line for the last 5 minutes. Just take a breather, slow it down. Here we go. Just regroup.
Mm.
So by the time we did that 30-second, minute and a half conversation, Garlow gives me the ball back. I put it on the 20-metre line. I tapped it, and I tapped it that slow. I bent over. I picked it up with me freaking 10 fingers and made sure I wasn't going to drop it. I think I only took two steps, and I got belted. I think Cameron Blair and Mark Horro might have just smashed me around the rib cage, picked me up. I think the play ball might have been back on my own try line. I think I might have lost 20 in the first touch.
The old saying, welcome to first grade.
When I was like, come on, Tugger, I would have been way better on the run, on the move. And there was a half a broken defensive line because they were chasing the kick down, which...
You know, Tugger being a real veteran by then, was just trying to do a bit of gamesmanship, slow things down, Tugger's give his forwards a blow.
Too smart, give it a blow, but it wasn't good for a tall, rangy, skinny fullback.
On debut.
And the brick wall was set. By the time I tapped the ball, I reckon there was 26 blokes in front of me. It wasn't 13.
Yeah, mate, that was the only game you played that year, but the following year you played another... couple more. You sort of like got accustomed to that type of game and the pace of it.
Yeah, well, the back end of that year, I think we won 11 games in a trot back in the under-21s. We thought we were going to win the comp. We had a really good side. And it was actually a hot age, pretty good age bracket as well in that grand final year. Magpies ended up beating the Dragons. Stephen Carney knocked over Gordon Tallis of the Dragons, and we knocked out Joey Johns in the semi-final, and we ran into the Broncos the following week, and we got a little bit unlucky that year. The guy that really got us pretty going was Duncan McRae. Brilliant halfback. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
Smart player.
As good as you could get. As far as, you know, an outside back, he just put you through holes. Paul Mellor lived outside him forever and in the same age bracket at Matto. But Duncan had a great kicking game, beautiful, nice long pass at rugby union. He was that sort of Ricky Stewart player. You know, torpedo left to right to left, nice kicking game, and Duncan was great. So we won 11 on the trot. I actually coincided with Duncan coming up from SG Ball.
Mm.
So Duncan was only, he would have been a 17-year-old kid, maybe 18. Come up to our 21 side and got us on a roll, and we won 11 on the trot. And from there, Then we got knocked out by Broncos the week after winning 11 straight. So that's that. Yeah, that was the experience. And then the following year in pre-season, Frank sent me to Centennial Park with Jack Giddies and Red Ross and doing a bit of sprint training with Ronnie Mabon. Phil Blake was there. He just said, mate, I just want to get faster and sharper. So I did that in most of the off-season, going into pre-season. And I got lucky. I was picked in the 17 to go up to play the Challenge Cup series, which was a knockout back at the time. And we played Broncos at Ling Park. Like, you were there, Brownie. And we knocked them over at Ling Park. They had a hot side. They won the comp the year before.
Yeah.
It was Alfie, and it was Kevy, and it was Chrissy Johns and Julian O'Neill. They had Paul Hoff. They had Hank. They still had the hot side. But I think they were coming off the grand final. They might have been drinking plenty of 4X Gold down there or whatever.
Still in the grand final hangover.
And we went there, and I think the 20-minute quarter suited us. You know, it was they might have been on the attack and on our trial line at the 90-minute mark. We held on for one set, and I've done it four times. And I think we knocked over Broncos in Ling Park, and I played in the centres against Renouf, which was, well, I thought he was, you know, the Prince of Centres. He was outstanding.
What a player.
Went to Canterbury, I think, the following week at Armadale.
That must have been a big highlight in your career type thing.
I think I started believing in myself then, you know, from being 21s to, I know even though I played first grade, it was the confidence to go good in 21s, played a bit of reserve grade, and obviously got a little bit of taste for first grade at NRL level. Mm. And especially in pre-season, it was a good young crew. We were very, very young. We went through that financial trouble the previous 12, 18 months, which, good and bad. We lost some very, very good players, and that probably opened the door for me pushing up. I probably wouldn't have. If Terry Hill and Jimmy Dimmick and those sort of players didn't get paged by Warren Ryan to go to Magpies, or we didn't lose Ian Roberts to Manly and those sort of, and Les Davidson and the Cronulla, Mario, financially wise, if we were as strong as we are now in the club, then I wouldn't have. Jersey Flegg would have been my level, I'd say.
I just want to back the truck up a bit there, mate. You brushed over that semi-final against Newcastle in the President's Cup. I was out there, mate. Can we relive that magic moment, mate, where you scored a length of the field try? I know if you've told this story before.
Basically a length of the field try. I wouldn't say basically. I'd say it's a dead ball line, tiptoeing along this. Yeah, it was 110, I like to call it. It was the slowest 110-metre try ever because I had to – I said I beat seven or eight players. I'd been engulfed over the years and, I got lucky.
It's made a book, that try, hasn't it?
I did make Joey John's book, a good friend of mine, Joey, and he grabbed the ball in goal area and he still says this. Well, I believe he says it. I don't know. It's never heard it come out of his mouth, but it's a second-hand story. It's just, four blokes you don't kick to. And it was Wendell Saylor, Darren Lockyer, Brett Mullins and Brent Hill.
You've got to mention off the eighth, mate.
So that was a semi-final against the Joey, and we knocked Newcastle. They were the same. I think they might have won 10 or 11 on the trot. So it was actually going into that semi-final series and I actually kind of got lucky to play that day because the last game of the year, Roosters were running fifth and we were running sixth. So whoever won the game made the semi-finals, and I got cited and got for eye gouging. An on-field false allegation against me, eye gouging one of a player that I knew pretty well, and I had to front the judiciary on a Monday night because it was an on-field allegation. The touchies got called in, and they said Nathan Gibbs had to go and take photos, cameras of this bloke's eye, and was there a graze across it, and was there a scratch, and I said, look, I've got tape across my forearms here, I might have brushed his eye a little bit. Had to front the judiciary at Phillip Street, and you wouldn't believe it, Daryl Bampton was my solicitor barrister, as you sort of say.
The late, great Daryl Bampton.
Rest in peace.
So that's a story with Daryl. We had to meet at Redfern at 4 o'clock on a Monday afternoon. I was going into Phillip Street at 6. Went across to the Leagues Club. He goes, "What? Tell me your side of the story and what happened." And I said, it was a pretty ordinary kick from Duncan McRae. It was a little chip kick. It wasn't quite high enough. And when I tackled him, I sort of grabbed him by the nose grabbed him a little bit high. He was falling. It slipped across. My fingers slipped across his face and sort of scraped across his eye. But it definitely wasn't an eye gouge. And so we sat there at Chalmers Street, Redfern, in the club, and Daryl had about 8 schooners. And then we jumped in the car. We drove to Phillip Street, and there was 3 blokes already fronting the judiciary that day as well. I think he had another 8 schooners. And then about 7:30, 8 o'clock, I get in there and they prove me not guilty of the thing. So I was lucky to play that the following week. So it's for swings and roundabouts.
Mate, your dad, probably one of the most successful SG ball coaches of all time. What about his influence on your game?
It's funny, Dad never really spoke a lot of football to me, which was strange because of how many good players he coached and what he'd done. He never coached any of my junior sides, which is unusual. You know, I know myself, I've coached all my boys through, and you did the same thing yourself, Brownie, and most of the players did. But Dad just coached South, did his SG ball, little apprenticeship, and loved it, loved coaching the kids. And I think back then they had 7 or 8 selectors. So his job was to recruit locally or pick from the sides. And then he actually picked the 40-man squad and he ran and trained with the boys. Dad was fit back then. Dad was fit. He used to run the golf courses around there and then he'd do the ball work.
In the Speedos?
Yeah, I think Dad, I don't know if he was a Frankie Curry.
Yeah, yeah.
With the little dickies all around. But yeah, but Dad was a garbo as well. He garboed in the morning and 6 o'clock start, finish it by 9. Next, you know, he'd go for a 10K road run in the middle of the day and then he'd go back and coach the boys in the afternoon and where he used to run with them. So Dad was, and with my football sides, he never got involved in any of the mascot sides I was involved in. So he didn't really too much input.
He had a bit on his plate by the sounds of it.
Yeah, but he was one of those parents that actually stayed right away from me when it came to football. But as I got a little bit older, you know, he had little tips on what you got to do and where you got to go to, but he was never really...
And so he's no Demir Dokic, you say?
Definitely not. No, and I sat out an SG ball season because he was a coach. And I look back at it now and actually, that year...
Very unselfish there.
Troy Slattery, a good mate of mine, and he actually played fullback. And Jimmy Dimmick played, a lock that played 5'8".
Good player, Troy Slattery.
Darryl Trindle was actually suspended for that year. He had an indiscretion the year before and he was suspended for the SG ball season. So I think I would like to have thought if I played and I went to 1, Slats would have went to 6 where NRL debuted. And Jimmy goes to 13, I reckon. I don't know, maybe we would have given Laura a shake, but that was going back a long, long time ago.
Mate, what about a player that you looked up to and strived to be like?
Actually, it wasn't a player that I could strive to be like because I wasn't anything like him. It was being a local junior and close in age bracket. My first taste of South was being a sandboy at my dad's side, SG Ball. So I watched a lot of those. I was only 6 or 7 when Tugger was running around and they won the comp. Just before them was Shane Arneil and it was Mario and those sort of players. They were too young before my age to really see until they went to first grade. But so the age bracket I probably loved the most, Brownie, was probably yours. I watched, you know, they had Scotty Wilson in the halves. Troy Albie Stewart was fullback. They were the 2 year youngers. And you didn't make your young rep sides at South back in the day. It was one of the
freaks, those two.
Very rarely did you make a side. You know, it only happened a little few years earlier. So, in your age bracket, mate, Graham Lyons was one of my favourite players. I just watched Chunky Lyons and I still wonder now if Chunky ever played lock at NRL level, how good he could have been. He was when I saw him running around at back as a younger kid, he was a lock and he was such a great legs tackler and he used to chop him in half and he was so dangerous and he could score tries. He was just a brilliant footballer and strong.
Well balanced, so fast.
And then 1 year later, I think he goes straight from SG Ball probably to 21s. I might have even been 23s back then. So he's given away 6 years age. Then he goes and plays 23s and he's in reserve. And he was only 19, I think, when he was in the first – I was in Origin side. So as a kid, as a 17-year-old SG Ball player, and 2 years later playing Origin for Jack Gibson as a coach, I thought it was unbelievable. So he was nearly my favourite because he just could do things that – he was a great age. It was an age bracket. You was a ball player, and you had, as I said, Stricko was a great halfback. But Scotty Wilson at 6 was a brilliant kid, and then Albie Stewart at the same age bracket at fullback was, I think he had Red Legs and Bulldogs. It was a really, really good. So that was probably the.
They're just about 3 of the best. In all the years I've been doing this podcast, if I talk to people that are involved in the 80s and even the 70s, that those 3 names come up just about every time.
Oh, I'm not even forgetting.
Like Albie Stewart,
Marty Marcella was a front row back then.
Leon Roberts.
One of the first Tongans I've seen running around in our junior league. It was just a real good – so that was when I probably appreciated the football players because I was old enough and watched enough football that I knew that, Chunky Lyons was probably my number one. And obviously I think everyone was in love with Leon Roberts. It was
– of course.
Being a mascot boy, watching him come through the grades. He's always at training, helping out the younger teams. It would have been Ian. I actually made a statement a few years back to Frank Cooks and I said, everyone loved Ian. I think Ian was probably one of our best juniors ever. He was changed the game as far as a forward. He was the fittest forward you've ever seen. He was athletically gifted. He could catch bombs. He offloaded passes. He was different to the old John O'Neill or John Sattler type.
It was
players.
Unique body shape. Like forwards are sort of that bigger, Blocker Roach style.
And he had
build
a
or He was just that big, lean, square shoulders, you know.
And high work rate as well. Like, got through a mountain of work in terms of tackles. I remember we had him on the show and he said he got off the plane at Wigan and I think he made like
59 tackles yeah. off the bench or something. Yeah. With no sleep.
I think Ian may have debuted in England before he did here for South Sydney. Would that be about right? Would he have played first grade?
He might have.
Yes,
yeah.
But he was... And Ian was great because he was a mascot junior and I loved him and he was part of the trainer staff the year above. Ian was, so between Chunky and Ian, I'd say they were my ones. But, you know, obviously, guys that my dad coached, that was one of the reasons why too.
Mate, you've been around superstars pretty much your whole football journey and, you know, like you said, you named some of them great players. So, mate, we'll touch on, obviously, your new career now. And first of all, congratulations on being appointed the Pathways Recruitment Manager of one of the greatest clubs of all time, the South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Yeah, it's certainly a great job. It's something I've been working behind the scenes with Joey and Ideen Talent for the last few years. Before that, I was, you know, player agent would reach out, tell me who your best kids in the juniors are, send you down to a carnival, just like recommend some players. So sort of rolled on from there and. I've been doing the same thing with South the last 12 months, just IDing some players and Joey O'Callaghan, who set up this Pathways the way it is. He was obviously NRL coach, he's a New South Wales Cup coach, he was running the Pathways, he was organising the grounds, logistics, the fields, trying to coach teams, he's recruiting players, he's up in Queensland setting up an academy.
So making the sandwiches?
Joey was doing everything. Honestly, I still can't work out how he could do what he did last year and have a young family and you know, just... Right now, we've got Tyrone McCarthy, who's a Pathways coach. I'm the Pathing Recruitment, and then we've got so just unbelievable that Joe could do.
He's done a good job setting this whole thing up.
I'm getting text messages and phone calls from a player agent at 6 o'clock in the morning. They're still coming at 10 o'clock at night, and a kid just got cut, and you want to move him into your squad, and then it's about, well, now I've got to ring up the SG Ball coach or Harold Matz. Are we short on players? Do we bring a kid in this late? It's ongoing, so I don't know how. He won a New South Wales Cup. Of an afternoon training. It was there at 6 o'clock in the morning with NRL side and you're still preparing and then recruitment and then signing contracts and agreeing on what money they need to go to. He opened the pathway for me and he recommended me for the job to do it and I've taken it on board. So, yeah, my job's now to probably identify our locals first. We still want to pick as many as we can. The junior league's not as big as it once was. This was the best junior league by a long, long way. Nothing's changed, you know, everything, registration, shorts, socks, everything's for free. The juniors do a great job, just the demographics have changed. It's, you cross Gardiner's Road, Kenzo doesn't exist. There's no more there's no more Ronnie Coots coming through. Yeah. Sato's, you go across to Zetland, yourself, Brownie and Terry Hill and Alexandria Rovers still exist. There's no Chelsea. There's no
Waterloo Waratahs.
Bob McCarthy's, you know, like where that the inner city was... Where we always, I think we produce footballers all the way across the park from tough. I think that was it, you know, the Tuggers, the tough and the aggressive and the physical. That was like the inner city boys. And then, you had your tough Laperouse, but they were athletically gifted. They could run and score tries. And Mascot was a strong junior league. And you go all the way through that little area, there was bits and pieces from everywhere. And I think the cost of living north of, or from Kensington onwards, them townhouses where there's a lot of, you know, five and six kids living in a little, sleeping in the same bedroom, it's all changed. So the juniors-wise, my job's identify the best juniors we've got, make sure we keep them, give an opportunity. We've still got our junior bunnies, 13s, 14s, 15s. The age bracket jumped the youngest rep team to 17s. So there was a gap there in the 16s. We've now set up a 16s development program, which is full of local juniors. We try and give them as much opportunity as they can. We do still... use as a recruitment tool to bring some kids in to see where they're at. And then, obviously, Harold Matz is the first real competition where you're playing 9 rounds now. SG Ball, a two-year gap to SG Ball, and then you go to the Jersey Fleek. So
that's 16's development. That's sort of they're playing only a few games there. How many games are they going to play this year? It looks like there's a few on the schedule, eh?
Donna Smith, who's in charge of the pathway, she's organised something like 8 games, 8 trial matches.
And that's really been built up.
Yeah.
All the clubs must be involved in that then.
Yeah, you might get the same ones you play twice. I know strong part, and we're a small junior league. Like it's Parramatta, Penrith, Cronulla, Illawarra is a massive big area in Newcastle. It's easy for them to produce 16-year-olds and have a 17s development program because they actually play in an Andrew Johns Cup. So Magpies have their own under 16. So when it comes to Harold Matz, lot of these clubs have got to jump on you. They've actually playing in a competition the year before. Illawarra, they go under a different banner, and Newcastle go under the same thing. But Illawarra, Newcastle, Magpies, Central Coast Roosters are doing the same sort of thing. So it's a little, it's supposed to be a group or a country sort of rugby league competition. But yeah. I think there's five of the clubs rotten it in a way. It's not really, they're not in a city, I wouldn't say. I'd say they're in a city, not country.
Yeah. Who's coaching those that team at the moment, mate? Tell us a bit about those two blokes.
Georgie Katrib and Benny Lower coach in the 16s development program. Benny Lower, ex-NRL player, and Georgie coached juniors last year, junior bunnies last year. So they're the boys coaching the 16s dev. And then that squad was put together basically from either last year's junior bunny side and some recommendations from them, and then a few more kids have been added on or dropped down, unfortunately. So, yeah.
Mate, you just mentioned, first and foremost, you've got to try and secure the best junior league that players that we've got, but you've also got to look outside the square. Now, we've built a great relationship, a new relationship with Cobra Sports High.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So Cobra are pretty much affiliated and aligned with Gold Coast Titans for the last, since I've known it. They had a fallout there for some reason. I don't know if it was financial or they didn't agree on a certain thing. So we've tapped into that area. I think the powers that be thought there's a little gap in the market. Cobra's been a powerhouse. Fafita, Payne Haas, forever.
Benji.
Yeah, it's just something special. So I think we're going to scholarship a few kids coming out of Cobra. They're not going to come. Well, yeah, we try and identify the best ones in an age bracket that we don't have going forward.
I believe you've done that already with a couple of players.
Yeah, we signed two scholarship kids out of Cobra, both forwards at the time. And then they came down for a camp with the rest of the EPD boys that we've got up there and that we've set up. Joe set up the last previous years. And they, the scholarship kids, they won't come down and play in the South Sydney colours in the junior league, in our Harold Matts or SG Ball season. They've got their own competition to run, which is Cyril Connell 17s or 19s Mal Meninga. But it's an opportunity for NRL as we expand. There's such a big talent pool in Queensland and our junior base is so small, we've got to keep identifying, whether it's New Zealand, whether it's North Queensland, which we're doing the same sort of thing with the Townsville Blackhawks in a way. But the Cobra Scholarships, you know, it's a great school. They recruit for the school, so there's going to be so many talented kids going there. A lot of them are actually scouted from the Broncos or Gold Coast or Melbourne Storm, and so they'll be kids we can't touch or get into, but we might be able to, you know, you find a diamond in the rough or some kids that aren't scholarship that are just, you know, that we can put on give a bit of a plan, give them a training program. We've got coaches up there that service them. And Tyrone will go up, I think he goes up there once a month with our little academy, trains them how our NRL wants to be trained, and now some of our pathways and dietary tips and well-being and welfare, so all the stuff that goes with it in the same way we train at NRL level gets passed on the way down for our pathway squads.
So them kids, they keep progressing. At what stage will they come down to the Rabbitohs?
We won't bring any kids out of school. We won't bring kids while they're still at school. Even then, they need to show that there are enough NRL potential to relocate away from family, because they need to come down and find work or an apprenticeship or study, or they've got to be on a contract decent enough that they'd be able to support themselves in a way in Sydney. So it's an opportunity that we will look down the track. And, you know, are they shooting better than our Harold Matts or SG Poor kids? But it won't be until they finish school. We don't believe in upbringing them. Other pathways last year, or even this year, they do a different format. They fly kids in and out. I don't know how much it costs to sign a kid, pay for his private health, fly him down, airfares, accommodation, bring him out of school on a Friday. So he's missing, you know, you go to school 5 days a week, you're missing one day. That's 20% of the studies he's missing out on. Comes down here, does a captain's run on a Friday afternoon, then plays on a Saturday, jumps on a plane again Saturday afternoon. You've got to put him in the house, you've got to feed him.
Am I right in saying there's certain clubs that fly him from overseas, like New Zealand and stuff like that?
They do.
Yeah.
So when you talk about the, you know, the spending or the cost to try and win a Harold Matts competition, which isn't salary based, it's just you could spend upwards of $500,000 on a young side to try and win a competition. The Bulldogs did it last year and they won. They did it. You know that Gus and Hardy and Feeder, they recruited very, very well. They won Harold Matts competition doing the same thing by bringing four kids in most weeks from Queensland. They bought a couple from New Zealand, but they based them for 8 to 12 weeks. And Everyone's club's got a different pathway. You know, do you want to win a Harold Matz? How much do you want to spend? They did it maybe, you know, as a building club for them because of big changeover. I think I've read even this week that not one player from the NRL squad is still around at Canterbury from two years ago.
2021 when Gus got the job. Yeah.
Incredible, isn't it?
So they're obviously looking at it from, you know, from an outsider looking in, they want to stamp their ground on the junior pathways and show that they're going to bring the right ones in. But at what cost? I don't know.
And he did that at Penrith. Like the success that Penrith's having now, and we've said it on the show before, haven't we, Japs, that everything Penrith are doing now has got Gus's fingerprint all over
it. And New Zealand Warriors, which people don't talk about that, like they're actually putting in their first ever Harold Matz team this year. Yeah. They're bringing them. That's going to be coming at a cost, bringing a Harold Matz team over every week. Melbourne Storm's even putting a Harold Matz team in. So a lot of those teams are starting to get really serious about developing a nice pathway, getting to wear the jersey and getting to train with the blokes older than you and aspire to be. So that's going to be interesting to see how those teams fare this year coming over and back. You can imagine picking a Harold Matz side from New Zealand, what sort of size they're going to be.
Well, as you said, New Zealand's a whole country and they play sport over there and they're big and they're powerful.
Sport's mad.
If over the course of the last 10 years, how many New Zealand families have relocated over to Sydney for the children to chase their dreams? And now they can stay in their own backyard. They can play Harold Matz. They can go into SG Ball. But still such a massive big country. There's still going to be clubs over there that recruit 3-4 every single year, every single age bracket. Will they get the best of them? It'll become a bit of bidding war now. Will that kid stay in New Zealand? Will he want to? You know, as I said, especially if you're a halfback, they can only pick one New Zealand halfback in a certain age bracket, and there's be four of them fighting for the same spot. You can imagine halfback number 2, 3, and 4 is going to relocate to a club that needs him or wants him or offers him the most money. So it will be very interesting to see how Warriors keep their best players and what clubs go to bring him out earlier and homestay and living away from home allowance, and will they bring the whole family out or will the family relocate to start work?
Well, like you just spoke about, Benny, the game is definitely dominated by the Polynesians, and Brad Fittler, who is now working for the NRL, they're taking steps to putting in programs in them Polynesian countries, so there is a pathway for younger players coming through school programs as such in Tonga, Samoa, all them Polynesian countries.
You mentioned how good Penrith have been in the last few years with their pathways of development, the size of their junior league. They still bring kids from New Zealand. They still bring kids in from Queensland. And they've got probably the biggest catchment area. And it stretches into Dubbo and Parks and all the way that region there. So they've actually got a country rugby league sort of area which they sponsor and look after. They've got their own junior pathways. You add all them up together. Yeah. And they still feel the need that they've got to bring in.
Yeah. And plus, they've got the biggest junior league, like you just said.
Yeah. So it's as much as junior league you need to help, but they're looking outside the circle now.
Mate, but you boys are doing a great job. And Joe O'Callaghan, like you said earlier, Benny, is the pathway system is really working for the South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Just touching on that Queensland Academy, as you said, you got an opportunity to spend some time with them when you brought them down into Sydney. They're in the facility. They got to put the Rabbitohs jersey on and play a few of those trials up there against Penrith and the Titans at the foot of the mountains. How'd you see those young men, mate?
Mate, great. Joe's done a great job. This is the first time I've actually seen him face to face. I've watched a little bit of him on film. The scholarship a kid or the sign him as in South Sydney Little Rabbitoh, without them coming down to see an NRL, seeing Latrell firsthand or seeing Cookie and Cameron Murray. They get to come down, they get experience training with the same age bracket, so they actually train with our Harold Matz and SG. We want to make sure they don't feel like outsiders because they've been given the same opportunity, whether they were local kids or they've been up there and they can wear the South colours for the first time. We played a trial, which happened to be Gold Coast and Penrith, which was two big powerhouses in junior leagues. They got to train with the boys, they play with the boys, they go back home now, and now they know just like to feel what it's like to be a South Sydney Rabbitoh. So they'll go home, play their own competition now. They'll jump into their Cyril Connells. Majority came out of the Cyril Connell. I think two boys are a little bit older, which will play Mel. And then the decision will be made, after the end of the rep season, how they're going, how much longer they got left at school. Do we see NRL potential in them? That's what's going to come down to, the big decisions made by the powers that be. But, yeah, it's certainly a great academy they've set up. I've been going to go up there and see them again very shortly. We'd train out of southeast Queensland.
I'm sure it's going to produce a couple of very handy players, whether they play first grade or reserve grade or what. It doesn't matter. You still need to fill the spots.
Well, I think the
in all your teams.
The Queensland catchment the last few years has shown you how well, you know, we picked the Hayes and Mellors was an example. He was a little scholarship kid coming out of school, and he was the one training with us for a while. He played basketball, hadn't played much rugby league for a while, and I mean he's bred Dane Hill on one side of the, you know, he's bred in purple. His mum and his dad exceptional athletes, and Hazen's pretty leading the way. And we've had obviously Jai Gray was Liam LeBlanc. We had a fair few Queenslanders in the last few years coming down. We've got a little impact coming down this year from our academy. So
yeah. There's a bit going on there, no doubt about it, mate. There's also a relationship we've built in this off-season. So there's been a lot going on for this club in the last 12 months, including the moving out there to Heffron, and that's been a huge success. But what about the relationship with the Townsville Blackhawks? Tell us how that come about and how it's going to work.
The Blackhawks one. We've actually got four boys training at the moment with the NRL. Campese is coaching the side up there, the Q Cup. Throughout the pre-season, I think four kids got offered an opportunity to do NRL pre-seasons and then they go back and play Q Cup. If they're good enough and there's a spot in the roster, they can be upgraded to a development contract or top 30. So I think this time next year it'll be player agents and coming out, you know, ringing off the hook, wanting to get kids into an NRL pre-season to train with Trell, Cookie, Cody, Joy Arrow, Tommy Burgess. So I think it's an opportunity it's a partnership. It's not all one way.
Them players, Benny, they've got to be affiliated with the
Townsville,
haven't they? So yeah. That's going to increase their capacity in terms of quality players as well.
Exactly. So the four boys will go back and play. I think they're going to play an NRL trial not this weekend, the weekend after.
Against Manly in a couple of weeks.
Our boys, they'll go back to camp. They'll get them back, I think, around Charity Shield sometime to get them ready for their season. But if they're shooting the lights out and they're maybe going better than some of our contracted NRL players, and then one could be kept, two could be kept, and vice versa. And we might get to a stage this year where we've got too many players or young players, and instead of pushing a reserve grade player out, or, you know, they might go up, we might send them up to Q Cup and play for Townsville to experience against men before they go into New South Wales Cup. So there's a bit of a grading sort of, you know, we've got some young, outstanding players that said, well, maybe it's better to see them in Q Cup than his jersey fleet.
Yeah. Just another little pathway which will improve the
play. Instead of having blokes not playing, you've got them playing. You can see exactly what they're like.
Yeah, that's a decision, yeah. And that's where Joey, who runs all our pathways, is still involved in that sort of system. JD picks his first 17, 18 every week and then filters back down to New South Wales Cup. And if we're deep in one position, do you send them up there to Townsville, or do you play? Are the younger ones going to go back to Fleg? Will they get the benefit out of it? Like, we didn't stack an SG ball side last year to win a competition when we realised a few injuries. Tommy Fletcher skipped round three SG ball game to do a Charity Shield. Not having him come back and played SG ball after that. His development was, okay, let's play him against men. Then he plays.
Gigi's looking big and strong right now.
Fletcher's
snuck into training last week and watched a little bit of it.
Back rowers, definitely. Yeah.
He's around the chest, no doubt about it.
He's still a development player, is it? Thomas,
yep. And dev players can play round one now. It's a different rule. So it's basically a top 36 now. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That's mate, good.
You just spoke of injuries. Off seasons are always tough. Where chap said at the start of the show, we're on the eve of the Pathways program this weekend, round one. Have we got any injuries that we can talk about? Any key players that we won't be seeing in the first couple of rounds?
Yeah, Nazareth Tau. He's been training with the NRL. He had the NRL preseason ready to go. He was the Queensland boy that came down, living down here, and he was ready to go. He's done preseason. He was looking great. He had a shoulder injury, slight operation on it, so it set him back. I'm not sure if he's going to be back for SG ball, if he'll be later in the rounds, but he's a flag player, definitely heading towards NRL as well, Naz. So we won't see him definitely round one. Injury-wise at SG ball, Tykes had a lot. I think there was one stage we had 19 players unavailable for a trial against Cronulla in December. We had a lot of injuries, a lot of blokes unavailable, but right now they're pretty much all coming back full health. I think they're ready to go. I think about 95%. So there's only one or two unavailable for round one, but Naz was a big one.
We're missing a hooker or two there, aren't we?
We
Bell.
And we copped an injury on the weekend too in-house. in-house 13-on-13. He syndesmosis, has done his ankle sort of thing. And
Zane Bell.
No break, Zane Bell, but there's no break in the ankle, but the ligaments are severely damaged and he'll be 3 or 4 weeks in a moon boot and maybe 6 or 7 out rehab after that. So that'll probably the end of his, yeah, it's end of his SG ball season for this year, poor Zane.
How times have changed, Benny, in terms of the contact sessions these days?
Yeah.
I had a mate that go watch one of the opposed sessions the other day and they said it was just dead set, full on. Tommy Burgess come off the back fence and I think it might have been Talis Duncan and Jai Arrow got under him, driven him back and, you know, they weren't holding back.
Yeah, and that's a roll-on effect down to our junior pathways. I think we see how, you know, the competition for spots at NRL, how hard they go at each other, and it's pretty physical and it's full-on contact. And Tyrone, part of the coaching staff, he's coaching SG and his sessions are the same. Like, I'm looking at it, I'm grimacing some of the... We're only playing in a couple of days' time. Can we just do a captain's run like 3 days in a row? But, yeah, that's... But as you said, they're the little one percenters that I think, you know, are going to make it or break you. They're getting used to your body, getting those whacks and copping it and being tough and physical. Yeah. And that's how Tyrone coaches it, you know. From England, Warrington boy, it's they're tough.
Yeah, they certainly
played
are.
Played first grade over there too, so he knows what it takes to go to that next level. I watched him do a lot of beach sessions. He scored leading into Christmas and just after Christmas, and they're making me tired and sweating just watching them. But anyway, we're going to preview round one of all the Pathways competitions. It's going to kick off this weekend versus the Illawarra Steelers down there at Collegians Sporting Complex, mate. We might start there with Harold Matthews and tell us a bit about the coaches there, mate.
Harold Matts, Yoni and Eddie and Jay, the coaching staff there at Harold Matts. Yoni's got his school teacher, had a bit of success the last few years. He's been the New South Wales CIS coach. They've won the last 2 years under 15s championships as a private school.
Where are they at? What school is it?
CIS, all the private schools, all those rich kids that all those rich kids can afford to go to those private schools, but it doesn't seem to be that way anymore. It seems to be more the scholarship kids.
Scholarships, that's right.
And it's going to keep going down that way. I think, you know, rugby league clubs are going to try and on player agents as well.
Yeah.
To make the schools better, they go get the best athletes they can and they put them in the... So, yeah, so...
100%.
He's been coaching at CIS side the last 2 years. And Eddie, he's been around the system for... He's a mascot junior. I don't think they ever got beat mascot in the years that he played in. And I don't think Eddie had to make a tackle. They won by big and they won by plenty.
Great character.
Tongan International, former first grader at the Rabbitohs, Eddie. Laid back sort of like, but very, very good with his IQ and talent ID and plays a bit of up-eyes football. So that's them. So that's the coaching staff there of Harold Matts, and Jay's part of the coaching staff as well.
What about their pre-season? How has that been for those boys, some trials and stuff like that?
They've been great. They've actually had that experience last year doing the 16s dev. So getting them in a position where most of those boys were in the development program last year. Last year I think we trained once a week. This year we moved it to twice with the 16s. So they've had that full pre-season. And I think there was 10 kids last year young, that was in that Harold Matt squad. You do it for a development as well. Lockie Moses was in the system last year. I think played a few games. I think he'd been named captain of the team.
Congratulations to him and his family. I messaged his father, Steve, the other day, and they're very proud.
He was a local.
He's come on a lot, hasn't he? Professionally wise, you know.
Lockie has always probably been one of the best players in the age bracket. If anything, he actually reminds you a bit of Schuster. He's got that no look pass.
Brilliant.
He's got the skills. He's got a power game. He's really classy. So he's a Laparoo's junior coming through, and he's now playing at Mascot. So yeah, Lockie's and a bit of experience last year. And probably the second real pre-season that Harold Matts has got him ready to go. He's definitely fitter than he was this time last year, and he's a leader now. So I'm expecting big things from Locke.
What about any new recruits that we've recruited from outside the system?
We've got a good catchment of, locally as well. I'd say Lockie Walters is probably that one I'd talk about locally. He's he reminds me so much of Jai Gray. He's blistering speed from 0 to 10. Walters is... the family of the Goldthorpes, Noah Goldthorpe, okay. The Botany Boys. Lockie plays a bit like a Jai Gray. He can bounce, he can skip, so he's a very good local kid. Probably him and Moses, one was the best forward, one was the best back coming through. Externally, kids that we've recruited, there's not a few, mate, there's actually a really good back line. I think I don't know which one's going to kick out of them all. We've got some potential on them all. There's got some kids with great feet, a very, very tough centre. We've got good kids who run good down lines, some good finishes. We've got a strong powerhouse winger that can carry. It's one of those that's just going to come down to they've all got a different niche that they don't have. Not all of them have the one at the moment. It'll come down to, you know, great feet, the power carries, the good finishes. So I think one out of them will kick. I won't name one just yet. I reckon between there's probably 7 or 9 of those backs that could really, and, yeah, and 3 or 4 of them are playing this week.
Oh, good.
It's a little bit unlucky in some regard, and maybe the scouting.
Well, some tough selections here, because trial wise, they all put their hand up at some stage during that trial period.
Yeah, you know, we scored plenty of tries against Cronulla, and they won that trial pretty comfortably. And I think we went out in the Gold Coast Penrith trials, and we won those trials as well. We had a draw with Titans, I think 2-2, and we might have beat Penrith 3-2. So, and then the last trial against Balmain, I think they put 7 or so tries on the Tigers. So, but trial form is trial form. You know yourself when your best 13's on the park, maybe there's a big gap between 14 to 26, where I don't think there's a big gap in our catchment area. I think it's a real even top, 30-man squad, 34-man squad, whatever it's going to be, is very, very even. I don't know, some coaches play ducks and drakes. You don't really know who's out there.
Mate, tough round one as well, because coming up against Illawarra Steelers, who have also got a strong junior league.
Massive junior league, yeah. Really, really good. Over the last few years, they've been great.
Always strong.
Billy Millard's down there in the pathways. He's, I think he's in the recruitment down there. And obviously, Flano's gone down there and coaching. So they've spent a lot of time looking after their junior league and make sure they're not losing any. They've also got the other part of their affiliation as a Dragon. So they've recruited very well, heavily. It's a matter of when they send them down to Illawarra. Are they going to be down in the Illawarra 17s or they're still going to be up here at St George? So, but Illawarra catchment areas, yeah, it's great. You've seen how many good juniors come out of Illawarra over the years.
Yeah, very.
Just had a little look at some of the trials, and Darcy Feldham caught the eye.
Darcy might have been that
mascot the other day, like the fullback. Really strong hips, big carry out of dummy half. Can cover a lot of ground. He's got a bit of ball skills. Can hit a hole. I like the look of him.
Darcy's a year young.
Okay.
He was a CIS fullback last year as a 15-year-old. Up there, close to one player of the Carnival. He was really good as a fullback. We got him out of Parramatta. They're such a big junior league, and they've got so many good fullbacks coming out of Parramatta. And I thought I saw a chance there to say, mate, I think you're a chance of playing. Harold Matt's a year young at South, at Parramatta, probably not. So Darcy came over, backed himself. He's a New South Wales rugby player as well in the same age bracket. So he makes the state sides at rugby. He goes to Oak Hill, which doesn't mind producing maybe a Pappenhausen or some footballers. Sammy Walker, I think, came out of the same school. Sorry, Lukey. Luke Keary came out of the same school as Oak Hill. So, he's a talent. He's similar sort of footballer to probably Dylan Edwards. Push supports really good, sweeps very well. Mm. Darcy's a very, very talented kid.
And in the halves, there's been a lot of competition there, like Tomoko Berriman Duff, unlucky to be sitting there on the bench. Tell us a bit about Bailey Gray, the bloke who's got the 7 on his back.
Bailey's a mascot boy. He's captain of the mascot junior league side all the way through. They've had a bit of a rivalry all the way through the years. It's been LARPA and it's been mascot and it's been Wombats over the few years. So Bailey's the local boy from mascot. He got a bit of a controlled, organised game and a bit of a kicking game. So that's Bailey's strengths.
Well, there you go, listeners. There's a few players to watch there in the Harold Matts this weekend. They'll be kicking off at 1:30 and straight after that game, 3 p.m., the SG Ball. We just spoke about the coach, Tyrone McCarthy, an Englishman who's got a lot of experience.
He sure does, yeah. He's at Tyke in December. He was in a bit of trouble with the amount of players we had missing. We even had to recruit, give a fair few kids a train and trial opportunity based on those sort of injuries we had. Well, there was times that we had no one in the back line. But they're all starting to get healthier. Full squad coming back now. He's at the name. He's 17 based on what he's seen. So it's a real good opportunity for him to showcase where we're at too in SG Ball age. Some of them are close to, as you said, 19-year-olds are playing NRL. We're going against an Illawarra kid at the moment who's a full-time NRL player, Hayden Buchanan, on the weekend. He was an Australian schoolboy last year. I think they had a front rower, Toko. He's a front rower at Illawarra. He played 21s last year. He's a 6'4". He'd be 120. He's a big boy. So, but we've got a pretty big boy come up against him as well in Jason Halley. A big boy from Tully. He's as big as Tom and George Burgess put together. He comes from, he played A grade last year in a Queensland competition. Didn't go and play his own age group. He's passed sort of that. So he's a big boy that we're hoping can, get us going on the front foot.
He certainly is.
Very classy looking back line. I'm just looking at the team now, and similar to the Harrelmatt, a lot of players who played there last year. Daniel Wright was one of them. You just mentioned Hayden Buchanan in his opposite number. He'll have a job on his hand on Saturday.
Yeah, he sure will. And we've bounced. Zane Ruglis has probably always been a half, coming through the ranks, and always been a good player as a state player as a kid and as a half. I think in the last over the training program, Tyrone sees a fair bit of potential in him as a centre. So Zane's his first opportunity to play in the centres. His strength is he's tough and he's physical and he's aggressive and he's line speed, and Zane's got that super toughness about him. And I think that Tyrone sort of said, let's let Zane worry about Zane, not worry about the whole team. So him playing in the centres, he doesn't have to worry about the front rows, what point they've got to get to, we've got to play shape, we've got to start worrying about, do I hit an edge? Let Zane's strength be. Zane, you play good football. And so as a centre, I think he can do that. He'll probably jam up on that one side and put a lot of pressure on a centre, and no one's going to get over him physically. He's a captain, he's a leader, he's one of those sort of kids I think that a lot of boys look up to. He won't take a backward step.
Mate, he's the captain. They didn't have the C next to his name the other day, but he has been captaining all these trials teams. But
I'm going off the same thing. I haven't actually seen it personally. I don't know if Tykes named him as captain, but he
captained. But he needs a bit of luck with injury too, doesn't he, Benny? Like, I know he's had dramas with his dicky knees and whatnot. And
yep.
We got him over from the Roosters and sort of didn't really get that role on. He kept getting injured and really sat a lot of the season out last year. But
The last three.
Big year for him.
He's had season-ending injuries with his knee, getting operation on.
He's had rods in there as well.
Growth plates or something like that.
Growth plates, it's rods. It was an ACL, but it was a situation where you missed a lot of football. And when you said he was a South Sydney junior that went over to the Roosters for a couple of seasons. We let him go over for a couple, but he's back now where he belongs.
Mate, I got the opportunity to watch a lot of the Pathways last year. I was very impressed with our number 7, Matthew Humphreys. Very classy player, good kicker of the ball, good organiser. Obviously gives that opportunity for Zane Ruglis to play on an edge now. But, tell us a little bit about Matt Humphreys.
You've nailed it in one. That's his strength. He's a running halfback. He's an organising. He's got a kicking game as well. Defends good. He's a Newington College boy, Central Coast originally. He come from Gosford. I think St. Eddie's, a school up there. Got scouted to go to Newington, so he's a Newington first 15s player last year and again this year. He's got NRL potential, Matty. He's a good number. He's a year young, obviously. He's only an 18-year-old boy coming into this year. He all has to juggle his school commitments. He's pretty intelligent. I think he's going to head into the 90s for his ATAR, and so he has to juggle study. Well,
Around my ATAR, around 90.
Yeah. Ours was out of 500 back in the day, though, Brownie.
They've shrunk it up a bit, the old ATAR, haven't they?
Yeah. So Matt's definitely got potential. Yeah, he's a kid that's been pretty impressive. He's confident. He backs himself ability. He does play eyes up, and he'll hit short. He'll play long. He's got a kicking game. So he's definitely good across the park, and I think he'll bounce between both sides of the field. I don't think we leave him on one side. I think he moves. And as I said, he'll probably... Zane hit two beautiful holes last week for two tries, and that's probably his strength. And then so instead of taking that away from Zane, not worrying about the team, let Matty worry about the side, and then Zane can play his natural game. So there's a good little balance in that, I think, Tyke Scott. And I think he's bounced a few positions and moved well.
And we've had to recruit from outside the squad, as you do at that age group. Might just single out a couple of guys, the number 6 and the number 12. Tell us a bit about those two, mate.
He's a 6, Sammy Taylor.
Yeah.
Mate, he's a, southern New South Wales boy, Bateman's Bay. I actually watched Sam play A grade last year down as a 7, 18-year-old boy down there. He's a great trainer. Physically built, short, stocky, very, very powerful. He puts his body in line. He's got a nice kicking game as well. Tackle's good. He's been super impressive training-wise. Has missed a session. He's just on the ball. He's played every one of the trials as well. So from a kid that hasn't been really in a program, when you live so far away, Bateman's Bay, I think he come up and play maybe a bit of Canberra, Harold Matts when he was younger.
Play a little bit of Canberra, Harold Matts at hooker, I think, and played a bit.
And I think it's a long, I don't think it's a... you know, an hour, even 30-minute or 40-minute drive, I think you're doing a lot of travel as a 15, 16-year-old boy, a lot of relying on a lot of work from your parents. So, yes, Sammy Taylor's...
good communicator too, I noticed, in the trials, just organising his boys where he needed them and what was going on. You got to have your mouth working overtime if you're in that number 7 jersey.
And who was the other kid that impressed you?
The number 12 Siani here, mate. Lala the one that Siani brought him from outside the squad.
Siani Lalahua, he was a Canterbury Bankstown boy. He was on the fringe of making their sort of side, and I reached out to them a while back and just sort of, you know, I think he's just starting second row for us. We had Naz doing his shoulder and another guy was out injured, so I thought we reached out and we got Sione over from the Dogs. He was destructive and very powerful. He went to a rugby league school out at West, Patrician Brothers out at Fairfield. He's very powerful footballer, dangerous, can offload. He's a good acquisition, actually. I think it's something we sort of needed.
We had a Lola here in the early 2000s. Philly, Lola here, I think Philly, it was. No relation to him?
Not certain. I'll have to ask that question. He's a pretty intelligent kid. Really, his knowledge of the football is very well and he speaks great. I remember Tyke did an interview, asked him to get up and speak about what it's like to be a South Sydney Rabbitoh, and he's only been here about a week and he'd done a fair bit of homework and spoke really well. He was sort of surprised me a little bit.
Oh, that's good. It's good that the young kids know the history of the club and, you know, the pride that it takes to be aware of that jersey, you know. So, mate, Jersey Flegg, they're not playing this weekend.
Yep.
Chris O'Connell, a very experienced coach, once again a school teacher, and he's offside of Kel O'Brien. Tell us a little bit about them and when they'll be trialling.
I think there might be a few Jersey Flegs going up to play in the reserve grade trial this week. Is Carson Cahill's name been named or any of the boys? So I think it's New South Wales Cup trial, but there might be one or two short. I'm not sure if Carson's playing. Tippy's been around a while now. He's obviously coached the junior reps. Harold Matt's here for a while. Had a stint at the Cronulla Sharks. Had a stint at the Roosters. Moved up to the Gold Coast for a live. So he coached one of the women's pathway sides. So he's been back in the flag system a few years. Got Kel O'Brien, local junior boy that Southeastern, captain coach A grade to within 6 seconds of a premiership. And an unlucky thing about Kel, he grew up in an age bracket, was Cameron Murray, I believe. I think he's never won a premiership, and I think it might haunt him for the rest of his life. I won't mention it again because it's a tough one for Kel. But yeah, he's
when Nat Butcher was in that same side. Nat Butcher was in the year above.
So Nat was your age against Jaden, and poor Kel was Cameron Murray all the way through. Yeah. So as a party side, which is very good. But yeah, I think Tippy and Kel working great together. Tippy's obviously school teacher, very organised, regimented. Expectations of the boys, that's his sort of strength. Goes to New South Wales schoolboys, CCC Catholic sides for a fair few years coming through, and you know, he's had Cam Graham and Bradman Best and all those sort of players coming through, and they won state championship Australian schoolboys up there. And Kel's he was as tough as teak, that real old school hard lock, want to bash you and be physical, and he's bringing the same efforts and work ethic to those flag boys when it comes to contact. It's no whole bars anymore. Yeah, it's definitely... Yeah,
the bear.
Yeah.
Mate, they had a pretty good... Well, the wheels fell off. They were having a great season last year. Couple of injuries mid-season, and they sort of like lost a couple in a row at the back end of the season and end up missing the eight. But I'm sure they'll be looking for a better year this year.
They look to be a better side on paper than they were this time last year, for sure. And the thing about the flag is you're a pathway side. You don't know who you're going to get. Like, Tippy could name his best 17 now, and probably by 2 weeks' time, not one of them could be in the 17. There might be – well, there's so many boys up in NRL. What have we got? The Pommy boy, Aidan Doolan, has done a bit of NRL pre-season. Kid come over from the UK. He's been going great. He's been really, really good. We've got so many players coming back too.
Tommy Fletcher could play Jersey Flegg.
Tommy Fletcher could play. Joy Gray could. Hazen Mellers could be playing. You've got Leon DeHow. Emmanuel Di Bartolo has been up in NRL training. I don't think they're going to get Tyrone Munro back either. I don't think he'll play another game of Jersey Flegg again. But there is 7 or 8 kids up in NRL that could drop back to his Flegg side. It'll come down to, as I said, JD and Joe's decisions. So when you think of Kalo, come back from he won't be ready for early rounds, but you know, Tyrell come back from a serious bad break.
I spoke to him the other day. So he's ahead of schedule, but he's just doing some light running, so he'll still be a fair way away.
And I don't think Davey Mawali will drop back to Jersey Fleet side.
Well, still old enough, Davey?
Davey's still old enough, yes. Wow. And it's kind of different when you talk about once you've gone up to NRL level, do you stay there and keep playing? Well, I think I've seen it this week with Talon De Silva. I'm pretty sure the last three games of last year was playing for Balmain first grade, and now he looks like starting hooker for SG Ball side.
Yeah. So a lot of talent, that kid. Onderburg got beat 70-0 on the road. That won't define him. I'm sure he'll kick on.
De Silva's a very good footballer. He's tough and he's got a running game and he's pretty physical. But as you said, it's some clubs really want to get off the board and win a couple of SG Ball games early and go that way.
Once again, you just mentioned some of them names, and I just want to give credit to Joe O'Callaghan for the work and the great work that he's doing, because a lot of these players have come through the pathway system and they're playing at a higher level than what they should be playing at, and that's just a credit to all the coaching staff as well.
They're a bigger side, I noticed this year, just having a look at them doing a bit of training this year. There's certainly a lot more size in the forwards and the outside backs. Who's someone that we could keep an eye out for here, Benny, in this Jersey Fleet side?
Probably when you said we were a little bit on the small side last year, I think we're probably maybe small on across the board in a fair few ages. So I think we're bigger. Someone actually said last night they think our Harold Matts side's bigger than their SG Ball. I don't know if it's true or not, but they're a bigger batch. Definitely our Harold Matts move into SG Ball as well. You've got big Jason Halley and you've got Palu, yeah. Junior Selle, Lennox, a fair few big boys in SG Ball. Fleg-wise, they're definitely bigger than they were last year. A kid is really impressive, a guy called Noah Reid. He was a Newcastle boy. He actually won a Harold Matts with Newcastle. Same age as Davey. Jonah Pezzett was the captain of that Newcastle side. Noah, a very hot side. They are a Harold Matts winner side. Noah was made a New South Wales Origin side, I think, at that age, 16, 17s. Stayed in the Newcastle system. I'll kind of bring him across here 2 years ago, actually, and he wasn't sort of cracking the Newcastle SG Ball side that was very hot at the time and sitting on the bench there a fair bit, and we're nearly going to get him over halfway through the year, and I think he goes to uni, had a bit of studies, so we didn't get him. And then we missed out on him last year, and I'm going to Parramatta. Spent a year in Parramatta. He played majority of the game in Fleg, and he actually had a few New South Wales Cup games. He reached out to us, actually, this year. He came over. He looks like a footballer. Yeah, he looks big body, got skills, defends very, very well, and has got some offloads in his game. And I think he's probably going to be the old stereotype, the front rower who's maybe on the white side, maybe won't peak till 22, 23. So I think he's going to really be a forward going forward that – definitely a Fleg player that could push forward a cup, maybe NRL later.
Yeah, we spoke to Chris just before Christmas and he said exactly what you said. And he's very impressed with Noah Reid, and there's one to watch for the listeners out there in the Jersey Fleg competition.
And the reigning premiers, New South Wales Cup, they've named a side to go out and trial this weekend. Up against that's the grand final replay, mate, the Bears. Have you had a look at that squad, Benny?
They might stack theirs. They might want to win a trial.
Get revenge, eh?
Joey definitely hasn't stacked his side. It's a New South Wales Cup. Defending premiers. Joey did a great job of them. And that's the one, like I just said, there's 36 players in NRL. Who comes, which state, when they pick their top side, who comes back to there? But of the ones training at the moment, obviously, Braden Byrne stands out. You don't be that good a footballer and not stand out that sort of training. So Braden Byrne is one of the players that I think stands out. His NRL still potential. It'll be interesting whether he goes good enough and they can include him in the NRL. I'm not sure, but we've got some good outside backs at NRL standard. But Braden's been super impressive.
Mate, he was impressive last year. He played a couple of games. Against us, he was outstanding.
Yeah.
I think they might have beat us, the Bulldogs, when he played that day. Might have scored a couple of tries. The games that he played, he really performed well. And he's definitely still got the NRL touch on him. Like you said, but yeah, very good signing for the New South Wales Cup squad.
And Joe's got that A-grade portability system in place where we've rewarded every single player from, every single club a player gets to nominate, and they do get to a whole full pre-season with New South Wales Cup and push for a chance to play round one. And I think a lot of them will be trialling this week, all those A-graders.
Yeah, so they are.
Yeah, whether you played at Mascot or Alexander Rover's got a player in there too. They've all got
Jake Trindle. That's the son of Tricky Trindle. He was a halfback in the A reserve grand final winning teams. Tristan Alvarado. He's been a mainstay in his team.
Yeah,
even though he played A grade in the grand final last year, I think he might have even been in the squad The New South Wales Cup grand final team.
Yeah.
And one of the great athletes in Australia in the last 20 or 30 years, Anthony Mundine. His young bloke, CJ, gets an opportunity back at the Rabbitohs.
CJ's
very
back.
Talented.
He was part of the top 30 a few years back, I think 3 years ago, and had a shocking injury. I think he might have played one round and was out for the season and might have even took up boxing there for a year. I actually watched him train NRL the other day. He one of those opposed sessions with all the boys, everyone gets down to, which NRL do have an open field where anyone can go and watch them train. They did a full game, three sides. First grade, not so much the second side, but they've mixed them up a little bit. And there's a third side where a lot of, I think half a dozen of these New South Wales Cup players train against the big boys, and they do attack, they do defence. There's no hold bars. It's not touch football. It's full on. So CJ's bouncing and moving around really good. Back to maybe the player that before the injury.
We've had a few listeners ask about Cade Maloney.
Cade Maloney, yeah, big front rower. He's a Townsville Blackhawks boy. He was a Townsville's player of the year last year. So he was the first one that the Townsville nominated to do a pre-season. He's not young. He's around the 27-year-old age bracket. Typical big country raw front rower. He's very dour. He'll just keep going all day for you. He's pretty tough. So he's been – that's Cade Maloney. That's a Townsville Blackhawks option there.
I was going to touch, you might be just about to say it, Chaps, but the old fella is going around again.
Yulene Gordon. Well, when they played their last home game at Redfern, he took the kick from in front. And I thought, I looked at Brown, I said, we were commentating the game. I think, we were doing the ground announcing. And I said, this might be it. No one asked me after the game. He goes, no, I just thought it's my home ground. I should take the kick. Yeah. He's going around again. Buddy Gordon. What a star in the pathways he was in the early 2000s.
Local junior, he came through the ranks and
center.
He could score tries out centers. He'd run over you, run around you, and now he's a fraction slower than he once was. But yeah, he's a middle, and he's got all the skills and all the attributes. Positive guy, and he's very, very good. Yeah, so I thought I'd have went out a winner if I was a buddy, but he's just still got football on him.
Instrumental in everything they did that game at in the championship game where they played the Queensland. He put on a big shot. Late in the game.
So Buddy's now, I think he played every single game last year, bar one.
And he's football mad, the whole family is. If you see him around, they're always going to a sporting event for the kids. He's always carrying a football, Buddy.
Yeah.
On his days off, he's never got a football out of his hand.
Yeah.
It's like he must have been born with a football in his hand, Buddy. So it'll be interesting to see him go around again. And a bloke we didn't see much of at all, Jared Sublew. Little talented halfback, played one or two games for Canberra a few years back. I'm looking forward to seeing him get some games under his belt and some confidence.
Yeah, well, Jarrett's been doing the bit of NRL training as well on that big day they bring him in on the Saturday mornings when they've been doing the team three. So he's been playing in the halves there, and so which marks up on one session. It's Cody and Ilias, and it's Torco, and it's Dion, and it's Chai Gray and Jarrett. So between the he's actually getting some proper reps in the halves, and he's got a mark up in the halves as you've got Keon running at him on one side, or Arrow, or Hostie, or Tommy Fletcher. So he's, as I said, he missed a lot of football last year. Did he play?
No, he played in the trial, I think, against Manly, and then that was it. I think he'd done his knee, and that was it for the season.
So one of the experienced players at New South Wales Cup level, they didn't get much, didn't play last year, but he's obviously Joe's seen enough of him at training to train with the first grade side.
They're going to trial this year. If anyone wants to go out and watch that now, I don't know about you, Benny. I haven't been to Kenthurst too often, but
private school at Hills Grammar, isn't it?
Yeah.
Playing a trial at the Hills Grammar, Kenthurst. I've already put it in the Google Maps. It was about a 30-minute drive for me, so I might think about going over there Saturday over about 4:30. I'm not sure if you're allowed in or not.
Bit similar education to you chaps, Marcel and Claude Ramwick. It's very private-y, sort of
very,
like
very similar, yeah. I'll have to take over me TER. I'm not sure what it was, but...
And that's also on Saturday at 4:30, so...
Yeah.
You could possibly watch the SG ball and maybe get back to Kenthurst for the second half if you...
Illawarra to Kenthurst. I don't think chaps will be doing that one.
Don't know about that one. I know. There's a few people might go out to that reserve grade trial. Clubby story there, Mark Sivis. Siv, he's shout out to you, Siv. He's thinking about going down and getting a look at those guys. So
yeah, now early on in the day down there on Saturday, it's also the round one of the Tasha Gale and Lisa Fiola. We've got the teams here. Benny, I'm not sure if you know too much about them, but Dale Jackson is the coach of Tasha Gale.
Good bloke, Dale.
Dale's in charge of the whole female pathways, actually. He does my side of things on the female side of things. I want to get involved in it. And they said, Brent, you're going to have enough problems with the males. And then the player agents let you do the males and let Dale look after the females. So yeah. I'd be lying if I said I'd too much about it.
We'll have to get Dale on in the next few weeks and have a chat to him.
Well, they've split the grounds a fair bit too, so it's hard to be watching the females training and playing. And then they'll, and then, as I said, living in the city, the grounds, we're sprinkled around between training at Marcelin, or sorry, Heffron here. Yeah. Mascot Oval, Erskineville, and a little bit of Redfern. So.
Well, a couple of famous names in the Tasha Gale. One is Chanel Lyons. We've spoken about her on the show before, and her uncle, one of your favourite players, Graham Lyons. Maybe great uncle, I'd say.
If she's been in the system for a while, she can score a try. Yeah. I think even in Indigenous Knockout last year, I'm sure, someone put up a crossfield kick and a bomb, and she catches on the fly. And
yeah.
Knocks two or three over and scores a try. Yeah, she was. She's a bit of a powerhouse. Is she named in the centres or second row?
Yeah, she's in the centres.
Yeah, yep. She can. She's like Chunky in a way where she can definitely run around and run
strong
over
ball
you too.
Runner. Yeah. And number 19, Mackenzie Schultz. Now she is the niece of Bo Falloon.
Wow.
Yeah, Bowie's been going out to watch those trials and stuff like that to keep an eye on and make sure she's going well. And we spoke about Michaela Lango as well. She caught the eye. Good little, tough little girl there. Gets in and gets a jumper dirty, no doubt about it. Great defender.
Yeah, that's in Lisa Fiola?
Yeah.
No, she's playing.
She's in Tasha Gale.
She's in Tasha.
But I think, is she Lisa Fiola age?
No. She's been actually playing up with the Harvey Normans, training with them as well. Yeah. So they've put her up. They've been impressed with her.
I know the competition there. It's a little bit of a strange one, as in they want you to have a local contingent of, I think you have to have 60% local juniors to play in these competitions.
Yeah.
And when we've only got it's a female pathway, it's only just kicked off of the year. And how do you find 60% of locals when there's probably nearly every single local girl?
Yeah.
You put the two teams together and it's local, and then you've got other teams that have actually imported kids from New Zealand. Mm. In New Zealand, going in there and registering as a local junior. So they've got a way of it. And there's a bit of a. So I feel sorry for. I think next year moves up to 60% locals. You don't need to have as many locals. So to get 60%, 40% next year, 60% now. So it's changed.
Okay. Mm. And the Lisa Fiola, a very famous name in rugby league, probably the greatest, arguably the greatest player of all time, Clive Churchill. He was a fullback himself. Ella Churchill. Do we know much about Ella? Number one, mate. Lisa Fiola.
Well, I'll have to do some homework there and find out if it's any related to the great Clive, the little master. I don't think, I'm not aware of it if it is, but yeah, good player.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about Mick Daly, the coach of the Lisa Fiola.
I haven't seen much of Mick running around. As I said, the female pathways is someone I'm trying to stay right away from. I have enough trouble as it is with these males.
We'll do some research, chaps, and get some information on Mick. If anyone knows him out there that's listening to this show, send it through. But yeah, it looks
I think
like
Dale
it's
will be the person
day.
We'll try and reach out and talk to Dale, who's a great fella, and he'll know the pathways in the female side from top to bottom.
So four games of football down at Illawarra, and then you got the New South Wales Cup. Then the week later, I think it all heats up.
Yeah.
I know the males have got Penrith next week. Ground underside at the moment. I think Redfern's still under a bit of reconstruction. The fields have been used because it's an open field. I mean, one thing about our Sydney City grounds, they're always open to the public, so they're getting used up all the time.
And the Jersey Flag will be playing then?
Jersey Flag are first up. NRL got a trial. New South Wales Cup continues, so it's going to be from round two of the junior reps of the males, it opens up to everything. So yeah,
all systems go and
usually busy.
It's a great, great time of the year.
Yeah, we'll try and get out there to those. Now, just on a personal note, myself and you, Benny, have undertaken the John Gannon 8-week challenge. It's just to basically improve your health. You've got to go get a DEXA scan and prior to the 8 weeks and has a look at your body fat percentage and a few different things. And it's all about putting muscle on and not about losing weight. It's more about turning fat into muscle. We're about nearly a week into it. How are you tracking so far, mate?
I hope John doesn't listen to this. and I've really got my doubts about the DEXA scan, whether it's actually true, how much you weigh.
So in other words, it wasn't that kind to you?
It wasn't very kind at all. I was a little bit disappointed. And the machine they make you sit in, they're like, you don't really fit into it that easy. You're not allowed to touch. You've got to have your arms.
Not allowed to move, no.
You can't move for that 7 minutes and your arms got to be wide apart and your fingertips can't touch your inside. So it weighs the size of your head. Scans all the way across. I think one of your mates, Richard Gannon,
how good's that?
Said, I think he might have the biggest head in the world. I think it was weighed at
6.2 kilos. His head, yeah. Well, there's a couple of blokes on there arguing who had the biggest head. One bloke was 5.9. I think the great Toddy O'Donnell from Aruba Surf Club.
And Toddy's been training hard for the last 2 years. So before his head must have been at 7.9 before it. But yeah, no, there's a. It's a good crew. It seems like there's blokes from all over Australia doing it.
Yeah, well, Paddy Rafter actually won the challenge last year through up there on the Gold Coast or Atlantic Head.
There's pro surfers. There's, I said, Pat Rafter.
There's a couple of actors in it. There's a couple of Hemsworths in it too. I don't know which ones they are.
There's Gingell's in there. It's a who's who, isn't it?
Unfortunately couldn't do it. I spoke to Johnny. I'm heading to Vegas for 2 weeks right in the middle of the challenge and it just wouldn't have worked for me, especially being on the
hamburgers on the beers for you over there, mate.
Well, South sent me to Townsville. I've been at Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and he just got back. So I think they're doing everything to try and stop me from winning this one. I won the last challenge. I beat Jimmy Olsen in the last challenge, and I don't think he's still not very happy with it.
No, it was a bit of verbal there on the WhatsApp chat.
I like to train alone, Brownie. All these group training sessions they're doing and for motivation, I'm not quite ready to join the group training session just yet.
Well, if you're up to it, there'll be a group session there on Friday morning down there at Maroubra Beach, right next to the pavilion, 25 past 5 start, the 400 club. What a great bunch of blokes there, chaps.
Yeah, you get down and I've never been a rower, but people steer in the right direction.
How are you finding the rowing? How many rowers?
Oh, your hamstrings get tight from it. It surprised me. You don't realise how much you're pushing off your heels and your hamstrings get tight. You just look around. If you're hurt and you're thinking everyone else is hurting, just keep going, suck it up.
100%.
Suck it up, princess, and just keep going and have a swim after it and a coffee and away you go. It's a great way to start a Friday.
Who's the most impressive trainer there? Anyone that inspires you, chaps?
I'd say Sogsy, man who runs it. Damien Sonigo, a great footballer from Mascot. I think he won a grand final.
Yeah, mate.
With the Cots, were you in that team?
Sogsy was the best man at my wedding. We worked together as Rangers, and he was tough. Yeah, he was a Coogee Randwick Wombat boy, won a 21s comp. I think Dougie coached him to win the B grade back in those days, the 21s, and he played A grade with us at the Wombats the following year. And yeah, I actually dragged him all over to Mascot 1 year, 1998, to win a comp, and he was actually the goal kicker. He was a tackling machine. He was Sogs. Yeah. He wanted to have the captain.
So you should see how hard he trains. He's that fit.
Yeah, he's mental.
He's inspirational. I'd love to be able to train that hard. And the fish who sort of
Mark
puts
Fisher.
Up his house when it's only a skeleton staff. And mate, he certainly puts the work in. Fish, doesn't he?
Fish. I think Fish sort of started the training program back at his own house. And Sogsy was one of his first ones. They trained together daily. And then the boys had I think I broke the record there for the ice bath. Jump in, jump straight out. I think Doc timed me at something like 6 seconds, which I think I can listen to one word Doc says.
Well, like you said, this 400 club, it started very small with about 4 to 6 people in Fisher's garage and it grew and then we went down to Marne, 10, 12, 20 people and now we're getting 60 blokes down there at the pavilion at Maroubra.
A lot of former NRL players get down there.
Paul Gallen was there.
Darren Brown gets down there. You get Willie Manu, Willie Mason.
Jimmy Dimmick.
Wow.
Rennie Matua,
So Sogs must get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, grab the rowing machines off the back of these trucks. And
they're all packed the night before.
And dumbbells. Can you bring me a 9 kilo dumbbell? Can you bring me a 12? Well, if you're listening, Sogsy, I'm happy if you've got a little 2 kg dumbbell or maybe 1.5. So it's not just rowing, eh? It's a bit of everything. So
bit of skipping and whatnot. And he mixes it up, so it's not that same type of exercise to keep you guessing. And
but more importantly, it's the social thing as well. You have a swim, and then to top it off, everyone has a coffee together and
a bit of mental health.
Good for your mental health.
It.
That's right. 100%
with the boys. And
Yeah, I'm taking it to black coffee at the moment for this 8 week challenge for you, chaps.
Yeah, I've been on the black coffees this week, mate. I had one with almond milk the other day, so I might have cheated there. Don't tell Johnny if you're listening, mate. But I've been sticking pretty tight to the food's a tough one. You're eating a lot of protein and stuff like that.
It's pretty inspiring. You listen, I mean, JG's a champion trainer. He's there. You listen now. He's the sessions on Instagram, which Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
The first leg day, I'm still walking like I rode a horse there.
My hamstrings are still sore from that Saturday session, and then I couldn't complete the Monday one. I got through four sets of it. Supposed to do five, and I said, I'm done.
And then the breathing exercises we have to do as well as the ice baths and the recovery.
I haven't done that one yet. Yeah. The rolling, you got to do the rolling stuff.
And to get the roller out. Well, I just wish John would post a video, maybe with a T-shirt on, just once. Can he actually have a shirt on?
Does he wear a shirt, old Johnny? Yeah.
Anyway, boys.
Done a good job there. Now, looking forward to it. Thanks for coming in. Our first guest of the year, and Sneaky, one of the real great boys for the club internally. We'll see the fruits of his labour over the next 10 or 15 years.
And one of the most important boys of the club as well, because very important that, you know, where it starts is this junior development, and Benny Hill has got one of the best eyes in the game for junior talent.
He certainly does. And that might be it for another edition of Rabbitohs Radio Podcast. Up the Mighty Rabbitohs.
Up the Rabbitohs.
Again working the boards, Grant sends to Coop with McCarthy in support on the inside. He takes the reverse pass and dashes 20 yards to touchdown between the posts.
One-handed pass back for Phoenix. Back for Coleman. On it goes for the one forward, Michael Andrews.
The 26-6.